This podcast is brought to you by Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. Do what I did and update your smile. Call 844-A-PERFECT-SMILE. When you change your smile, you change your life.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Demonstrators are demanding that Postmaster General Louis DeJoy end a series of recent changes. They say DeJoy, who is an ally of President Trump, is trying to sabotage the mail system ahead of the upcoming election.
It's hard to ignore all these anecdotal reports. Slow mail in Montana, removed mailboxes in Oregon. The president needs to sort of back off on his rhetoric.
But you remember this. When you control the mail, you control information.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Now, I have encouraged everybody, speed up the mail, not slow the mail.
The mail never stops. Every day it piles up more and more and more, and you got to get it out. And the more you get out, the more it keeps coming in.
And I also want to have a post office that runs without losing billions and billions of dollars a year.
Amazon, they come and they drop all their mail into a post office and they say, here, you deliver it, you stupid people, you deliver it. And I said, raise the price. This guy's supposed to be so wealthy, so raise the price. Let him pay for it.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
Crime is an issue in New York City. True. The genesis of the crime, the Trump economy, Trump not providing COVID relief, Trump's response to the George Floyd murder, Trump, there are good people on both sides, Ku Klux Klan. I think Trump has some liability for the increase in the crime. Trump.
Unchained and unstoppable.
Joe is shot. Let's face it. Joe is shot. Now, maybe people are going to feel sorry for him and maybe he wouldn't. But if Joe makes it through the debate, if he can make it off the stage and walk back unassisted, they will say it was the single greatest debate performance in history. You know that, and so do I.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. That is the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. If you'd like to join us here this afternoon, every weekday afternoon, you know, September 1st is when the real estate market turns in Boston. All the college students traditionally come back to the city, and that's when all the apartments are vacated by the old tenants, and the new tenants move in, and the price goes up, and it's great to be an owner and a landlord in Boston. Well, it always was until now. But now we have the panic of 2020. And as the headline says in the Commonwealth Magazine, it's a renter's market in Boston. Prices plummet, fees disappear during pandemic. And some of these statistics and the stories in this piece, which we'll tweet out, are really amazing. And you know, the thing is, the prices are going up in the suburbs and on Cape Cod and in Maine and even in places like parts of rural Worcester County, they're going way up. But in the city, it's a different story. In all the cities, it's a different story. So joining us on the line now to talk about this for a little while is JT Kelly. He's he works for Keller Williams in Newton, and he's a real estate broker and a realtor. JT, thanks for being on with us tonight here on the Howie
no
Carr
problem.
Show.
Thanks for having me, Howie.
Well, you sent me this list, sheet last week. I'm looking at it. It's amazing. Listing units. This is as of August 13th, a few days ago. There were a year ago, there were 1,836 units in Boston area. And today there are 4,700, 160% increase. The average list price, these are higher end rentals, $3,500 to $3,000. Approximate months of supply has gone from less than 2.5 to 6.5 months of supplies. The average list price per square foot has gone from $830 to $330. This is amazing. This is a first in a long, long time, isn't it, JT?
Yeah, and since I sent you those on Thursday, it's gotten even worse. It's now up to about 163% year over year, more rentals on the market than last year, and the prices just keep going down and down.
So, I mean, what's happening? Just no college students are coming back? Is that it? Or is that the whole of it?
Yeah, I mean, the demand is way down. Like you said a second ago, a lot of these landlords are offering ridiculous incentives, you know, 4 months free. Some of the big companies are offering compensating brokers stuff higher than they've paid before. But demand is way down. I mean, many international students who have the option to do online only, you know, are staying in their home country. Normally right around now, there's a huge surge of rental activity from the international market, whether it's India, Dubai, all of Europe, China, whatever. They're all not coming right now.
And I'm just reading there are some places now have never allowed pets, but they're allowing them, even though they're going to have to pay more insurance. So that's another form of a rent cut.
They'll take anything at this point. You know, there are places, luxury buildings that aren't, you know, normally wouldn't take undergrads that are all of a sudden taking undergrads. You know, it's not a price issue for a lot of these places. Just there's literally no demand anymore because that whole subset of the market is non-existent right now.
And how about people that are already out of college that, you know, just the sort of people that, you know, last year, way back then, used to live in, say, the Seaport District and would get an expensive rental unit or even buy a condo if they were a little bit older. They're moving back to their mom's basements, aren't they? Most of them, or a lot of them anyway.
Yeah. So like you were saying too, that the condo market in Boston is down, but the single family market pretty much all over the state is significantly up. You know, if you look at Wellesley, Weston, Newton, the prices are all up. Inventory is way down. Sellers don't want people in their houses right now. So a lot of people are just saying, let's just wait till next year to give it a shot then. But at the same time, there's still a lot of buyers trying to get out of the city, driving prices through the roof. Like Natick is up in price point 17%. Westwood is up 38%. Swampscott's up 47%. These suburbs are significantly up, and the city of Boston condo market is down about 12% year over year right now.
Wow. Swampscott is up?
Yeah.
Swampscott, it's a tough place. It's a nice place to live, but it's a tough place to get into Boston.
But now there's
a little more traffic than there was a couple of months ago, but there's still not a lot of traffic. Swampscott's an easy place to get into now compared to what it was.
Right. But the amount of buyers out there that are looking for it, and Swampscott's inventory is down 51% year over year. So there's just, you know, there's so many buyers out there that are competing for even less houses. And, you know, with the exodus of people leaving the, you know, traditional high rise, whether it's luxury apartments in Seaport or, you know, those buildings in Fenway all over the city, a lot of people are competing for kind of the same product outside of it.
So you think the inventory is down in places in sort of upscale suburbs like Swampscott or Natick just because people don't want buyers in their house, or are they just waiting to see if maybe the prices are going to go up even more?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit of both. A lot of sellers ended up saying this year, you know, all right, let's just wait till next year. You know, we don't want people in our house right now. And that definitely contributed to. And then at a certain point, people just say, all right, let's just wait. Let's just wait. And at this point, you know, it's maybe there'll be a rebound in the fall. Who knows? But there's no way that a lot of these inventory numbers are going to come out to what they finished at 2019 with.
Well, now we have a situation where nobody can be evicted, at least for the, you know, the time being. There's an order. Yeah, you're laughing about it. But I mean, what
disaster evicted?
Yeah, what are the landlords supposed to do if they're not getting any rent? I mean, when are the foreclosures going to start on these landlords? And I'm not gleeful about that. I think I agree. It's a bad,
terrible.
It's a terrible situation. What's going on?
Did you see that the owner in Fall River, he was a former Iraq combat veteran. He had a tenant who hadn't paid since April. And the tenant said, you know, to him, you can't evict me, so I'm not paying. The guy has no hardship, hasn't paid his rent. There's a few articles about it. The guy's still working, and he's basically using the moratorium to avoid paying rent. So I believe the landlord joined a lawsuit suing Baker. But that came out on Friday or Saturday this week. Yeah, there's really nothing you can do if, you know, these people stop paying and Baker just keeps extending the eviction moratorium. It's a disaster and completely unfair to, you know, private owners.
But so when the eviction moratorium ends, this guy in Fall River and thousands of others, they're going to owe all that back rent,
aren't they? Right. But then what do you do if the guy says, I'm not paying, you know, and then it floods the courts and it takes, you know, on average a year to begin with. So Lord only knows how long it'll take, you know, assuming the courts open up on October 17th, which just keeps getting punted and punted. So I wouldn't be optimistic about that to begin with anyways.
So when do the foreclosures begin, JT Kelly?
I mean, they keep pushing that back too a little bit, but, you know, they're pushing back the payments, not to the end of the loan, but if you go into, if you request basically a deferment of payment, you owe it now in 6 to 12 months, which is also not very helpful because, then 12 months from now, you all of a sudden owe 12 months of payment.
Right.
So, you know, I can't imagine they're going to start. I can't imagine they're going to start either the foreclosures or the evictions anytime in 2020.
Good Lord. And, And when do the, And the tax bills, of course, are not being deferred for the,
right.
people who own the property.
They're still due. Yep. It's crazy.
Sounds like a lot of people are going to have to make quick moves to get out or try to sell just to get out from under this before they get foreclosed upon. This is a real mess, isn't it? And nobody's talking about it. I mean, nobody, you know, we're talking
the New
about
York,
it.
The New York numbers are even worse.
Really?
Yeah, the New York, I don't have them on me right now, but there's been a bunch of articles that the New York apartment prices are at an all-time low and everybody's completely fleeing that right now.
Yeah, there was a big story, I think, in the Wall Street Journal either today or Saturday about how San Francisco is the same thing. Silicon Valley is, you know, I mean, that was like the priciest real estate in America. And that's fading away because everybody's figuring out that they can they don't have to work in a place where it costs $1 million to get a 1,200 square foot condo, you know?
Right. Combined with the stuff about the police and all that, a lot of people are fleeing some of those cities.
So, what would you suggest if you're a buyer or a seller, JT Kelly?
So in the suburbs, you know, it's a great time to sell because there's a lot less inventory, so places are going wildly over ask, 10, 12, 15 offers on your average single family. You know, buyers in the city can potentially get a good deal right now, but, you know, the reality is outside the city with single families, it's insanely competitive, and the average buyer is putting in multiple offers, some 10, 20 grand over ask and still not getting the place. So, you know, traditionally it kind of cools down a little bit in the fall and winter, because a lot of people work with September deadlines where families want to be in school districts and start then. But, you know, I don't think anybody could exactly know this year what's going to happen since, like you said, that logic is kind of out the window for now since people can work and whatnot from home.
And if God forbid, you're looking for an apartment in Boston, haggle. How about that, JT? Is that right? You could definitely get it.
Broke up there.
I said, if you're looking for an apartment, God forbid, in Boston, haggle. Don't accept the first offer the landlord gives you. He'll take less, right?
Exactly. There's thousands of options out there from the tenant side, and landlords are hurting a bit right now.
All right, JT Kelly. If people want to use your services, where should they go to call you?
My number is 617-777-0248. My website is www.kelly.properties.
All right.
Appreciate it, Howie.
All right, JT, thanks. Send me that new list. I just like to keep up with it for myself just to see how bad things are. Thanks. I'm not rooting for a disaster. I just like to know what's going on. I'm Howie Carr.
Keep it here, chumps. More Howie Carr after this.
This is Lynn in sunny Las Vegas.
This is Dan from the Moonbat capital of Jamaica Plain.
This is Gigi in Leominster, Massachusetts, and this is The Howie Carr Show.
781 says, If it takes you a year to get someone out of a unit, you've got a bad lawyer. I do this for a living, and it has never taken me that long. Only if you have an elderly tenant. JT must not do investment property. I don't know. I think it's a different situation now, isn't it? Are the housing courts even in operation? Or they're, I know they're probably, yeah, they're doing a lot of virtual hearings and all that kind of stuff. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I don't think there's too much going on in the courts. I even heard yesterday, so I was talking to somebody who works in the courts, and they said that even the judges are starting to get a little antsy about this situation. And there are not too many type A workaholics in the state judiciary, to put it mildly. So if they're getting fed up, it's got to be a problem. 844-500-4242. Experience the amazing benefits of SuperBeets. Get a free 30-day supply, free shipping, and free nitric oxide strips to test your nitric oxide levels with your first purchase when you visit www.superbeetsradio.com/Howie. That's www.superbeatsradio.com/Howie. So Taylor is gone tonight, and Jared's on the board. Jared, what's the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
How many times will Bernie Sanders make reference to the working class during his 8-minute speech at the DNC? Under 5 times, 5 to 10 times, or over 10 times?
I'm saying 5 to 10 times, but if it goes over 10, I would not be that surprised. If it goes under 5, I would be very surprised.
5 to 10 times is at 30% of the audience. Over 10 times is in the lead with 66%.
Yeah. My father was a working man. He told me, Bernie, don't work if you don't have to. I never have. Had to. Mr. Garcia, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Mr. Garcia.
Hey, Howie Carr. Listen, I want to ask a question. The mayor of Newark suspended the school in September and October.
October, too? You're kidding. October as well?
Yeah, in October and November.
In November?
Because a lot of black people dying.
Oh, my God. They just postponed the reopening of the schools in Boston, but only till September 21st. Your guy, so it's going to be a be still fall, not just a be still Monday or be still Tuesday in Newark. It's going to be a be still all fall up to Thanksgiving.
You know, the problem, I tell the mayor office, the mayor should be working as a manager at a Burger King. He should not be a mayor. He should be a manager at Burger King. Disgusting the world is.
What do you got against Burger King, Mr. Garcia? Probably wouldn't be very well managed. So how can he get away with this? I mean, what's the point? I mean, I thought the numbers in Jersey were going down. Why he's going to keep the schools shut down for another couple of months?
And I spoke to a lot of black kids because my daughter goes to school. Young kid, 14, 15, you say, I want to play basketball.
Right.
Umbrella. I want to jump. I want to go and go to the gym. I want to go into school. And a lot of black kids want to play basketball. You cannot play basketball in New York.
Yeah. How about all the kids in these schools that work all their lives, for football, and they look forward to that Thanksgiving Day game, right? I mean, it's like the high, yeah. for some kids, that's the highlight of their high school years. There's not going to be any of that stuff this year. Mr. Garcia, hold on. We're going to send you a book. You're a great caller. We're going to send you a book. Oh, he hung up. He hung up. Call back, Mr. Garcia. We'll be right back. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. That is the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. Ayanna Pressley, we played the cut of her earlier today talking about how we need more unrest. She's the congresswoman from Boston and the surrounding areas, Somerville, part of Cambridge, and down as far as Randolph. And the Republican candidate against her is Rayla Campbell, and she's from Randolph, and she's a black woman. And as you may recall, recently a so-called activist, a BLM activist, Monica Cannon Grant, just made a video and put it out on social media, just a vile, obscene attack on Rayla Campbell, just so nasty, vulgar, beyond vulgar, obscene. So this woman, Monica Cannon Grant, who made this horrible video and put it out on online, she endorsed Joe Kennedy, Joe Kennedy, who's now, incidentally, in the latest poll, he's behind Ed Markey, believe it or not. I don't know if I believe it, but there it is. So Joe Kennedy had a press conference today and to attack his opponent, Senator Ed Markey, Mr. Frosty, for going after his background, helping black voters. And behind him, Joe Kennedy had a number of black activists and politicians, one of whom was Monica Cannon Grant, this woman who had said these vile, terrible things about Rayla Campbell and her husband, who was white. And so Rayla Campbell went to the event on City Hall Plaza, and Rayla Campbell is with us now. She's the Republican candidate against Ayanna Pressley. I'm going to let her pick up the story from there. Rayla, tell us what happened when you went to City Hall Plaza this morning or this afternoon.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Howie, for having me on. Yeah, it was this morning. I actually got a text and a call from D.A. Rollins at about 9 o'clock in the morning telling me that Kennedy was going to be making a press conference, and he hadn't made a statement to me disavowing this woman or reached out to me in any type of capacity at all. So she gave me the information. I said where and when. She told me where and when. She prepared a statement. Of course, I wasn't going to go and read her statement because I don't trust the woman. So I went.
Sounds like she did you a favor, though, Rayla. She did you a favor.
She did. So, you know, it was like, all the cops are probably up her butt right now wondering what is she doing because, you know, I'm standing with the police. So she did. Yeah, she reached out to me, and I went down there, and I was by myself. And I happened to just get out of the car, and I was wearing my Blue Life Matters dress, and I stood there and wanted to see what Kennedy was going to say. I did not know that Monica Cannon Grant was going to be there. Had no idea.
So you were just going there to support the police. You weren't going there to confront Monica Cannon Grant.
No, I had no idea she was going to be there.
Wow.
I had no idea. Yeah, I was going there to see if Kennedy was going to say anything about this woman. No clue. So that's why I'm like, wait a second. D.A. Rollins didn't tell me that Monica was going to be there and that all these other people were going to be there. And a sheriff was standing up, and he gave her praises. And I yelled, wait
Sheriff, Sheriff Tompkins?
Yes. Yes.
He's the sheriff of Suffolk County. Yeah. So he praised her?
He praised her. Praised her, gave her, was, you know, saying how much she has done for the community and how much she stands up for the African Americans. Meanwhile, this is the same woman that went on a bigoted racial tirade against me and my husband. The words that we cannot even say because they were so vile and so disgusting.
I know.
So, so I just actually happened to pop up and see what was going to happen. Wonder if Kennedy was going to say anything. And when he didn't, it was like, okay, let me make my statement right now because the news is all here. They're not trying to cover me with anything. In fact, they've actually called me a protester when I've been standing in my Blue Lives Matter dress with the police. So I went there just to make sure that my voice was heard. And I want him to, one, apologize to me and to disavow this woman in a public setting.
Yeah.
So the Herald was there, and they reached out, and they asked him, and he said, oh, well, she went on and apologized on Facebook Live. Her unapology is what he's talking about. She did not apologize to me. She apologized for some choice words. Yeah. Not what she actually said to me. And then she continued to attack me in that video. So that was his statement. All right, Kennedy, I got something for you with Miss Presley.
So what did you say? Now recreate, because we don't have any, is there any video of this, of what you said to Joe Kennedy?
I bet the news is out there. I tried my best before I was taken away. I wasn't escorted away, as the news has stated. You know, the officers were very nice, and they were like, let him just finish his press conference, and we stood off to the side. But, yeah, I asked him if he's going to stand there and talk about, you know, the unrest and the injustices happening in the African-American community. Well, he's sitting there with the biggest racist bigot behind him. Is he going to say something about that? And he looked like a deer caught in the headlights.
So what did you recreate, since we don't have any video or audio, Rayla, just recreate for me what you said to Congressman Kennedy.
I said to him, I was like, are you going to disavow this woman that's standing behind you that went on a racial bigoted tirade? She called for me to be shot in the head. She said that, she used the N-word, she said that Harriet Tubman would have shot me in the face, calling for the murder of my husband, saying that I'm married to a white supremacist, saying that I hang out with KKK members. And I said, can I say the N-word on the radio? Because, yeah, I said it straight out. She called me.
Whoa, don't say it. N-word. Don't say it again. I don't need any trouble. Rayla.
I just said the N-word. But, yeah, I said that. And he literally, like, he seemed swallowing his throat. And that's when I was escorted away. And I'm yelling, are you going to say something about it? Are you going to do something about it? Are you going to stand there and stand up for this woman and give her awards when she's a racist? You're going to stand there with a racist? The Bruins, the Celtics, the Red Sox,
and so
they're all standing with him.
And what did he say? Nothing.
Nothing. He ran away. Like, when I say ran away, ran. The Herald was there, too. They tried to follow him. All of the news people were trying to follow and get a statement. He ran so fast. I've never seen anybody run that fast. I thought it was hilarious. And she did, too. Monica, who I've never met until I saw her today, still not met, didn't have a word to say to me, ran away with the rest of them. I'm like,
did anyone try to talk to you, like the sheriff or any of the others that were standing behind Kennedy?
Not a single one. That's why I know they've been drinking the Democrat Tang. It's not Kool-Aid, it's Tang, because Tang only comes in one flavor. It's disgusting, it's orange. Kool-Aid comes in many flavors. But, yeah. A single one of them. Nobody came up to me. Actually, one of Kennedy's women said, oh, I'm so glad I don't have to deal with you.
Really?
It's not my time, they said. Isn't that the words that this woman used? Go sit in the back of the bus. It's not my time. So this isn't my part of the show? Yeah, that's what they said, and they were trying to get me to stop talking. Nope, this is my time.
617 asks, texter, does Monica Cannon Grant feel the same way about Kamala Harris's husband?
That's a good question, isn't it? Yeah. You know, does she feel the same about Rachel Ross? Who's also, Rachel Rollins, who's also, has a white father.
Yeah. So why do you think Rachel Rollins did that for? I mean, I thought she was on your side in this matter, but why do you think she gave you that heads up?
I have no idea. I've been trying to figure out the angle in the game for what she's up to. Now, this is like the second time that she's given me some information. So I think she's trying to distance herself from the woman, but go out there and make a public statement, not just to the Herald, on TV. She was on the Channel 5, I think, the other on Sunday, on the record. Why didn't she say anything? On the record.
So someone says you posted your words on Facebook. Was that a recording you posted on Facebook?
I tried to. Again, I was by myself, and I had my sign in my hand, and I had my phone, and I was like, oh, let me do a Facebook Live. And I did have some of Kennedy supporters or Monica supporters actually putting their hands on me, trying to move me away.
Oh, wow.
While I was standing there. Yeah, so like the video is a little choppy. It is on my Facebook page, Rayla for Congress on Facebook. And it, yeah, it just has, oh, you can hear what I'm saying, and it does get cut off because I was escorted to the side. But yeah, they were putting their hands on me, trying to get me to move.
They didn't threaten to, they didn't threaten to arrest you or anything, did they?
No, no. They actually, the police were fantastic. They allowed me to say my piece. And, you know, there was a press conference going on, and they had called the cops, and they were going to threaten to, I was disturbing the peace. But I'm pretty sure they didn't pull a permit to do that. But so I just stood off to the side the officer.
As long as I got you here, Rayla, where should people go if they want to get a sticker to put on to put on the ballot, the Republican ballot on September 1st to get you on the general election ballot against Ayanna Pressley? Where should they go?
Right, so I am doing a write-in, and they do need to either get a sticker or write my name for September 1st primary. They can go to my website. It's RaylaForCongress.com. It's RaylaForCongress.com. They can pledge their vote right in the top corner, and we can we will hand-deliver a sticker. So it's not like you're going to have to wait. We will bring it directly to you. And we also need donations. We need a lot of donations. We've got yard signs going up. I have events coming up. They're all posted on my Facebook. So people can follow, donate, go onto my website, get out there. It's time to rock the vote. September 1st is the primary. You have to pull a Republican ballot, write my name in, R-A-Y-L-A, Campbell, like the soup, Randolph, Mass.
Okay, I'm going to play, before we go, I'm going to play this cut. You've heard it by now. It's your opponent, Ayanna Pressley, on MSNBC on Saturday, cut 16.
I'm looking to the public. You know, this is as much about public outcry and organizing and mobilizing and applying pressure so that this GOP-led Senate and that these governors that continue to carry water for this administration, putting the American peoples in harm's way, turning a deaf ear to the needs of our families and our communities, hold them accountable.
Well,
make the phone call, send the email, show up. You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there's unrest in our lives. And unfortunately, there's plenty to go around.
There needs to be unrest in the streets.
So if those aren't her exact words coming from her mouth to Monica Cannon Grant, who is attacking me, I've also got the trolls attacking me. I was in Wilmington on Sunday, had three of them there, and Antifa, all trying to get me. The crowd was amazing.
In Wilmington? That's not in your district, though, is it?
It's not. I was there to support the blue, as I always do, and to support the president, because it was a Trump rally, a back the blue rally, and just to support my other Republican candidate, John Paul Moran, who is also running.
All right, Rayla Campbell, give us your address one more time so people can get in touch with you.
Yes, so they can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Parler at RaylaForCongress.com, RaylaForCongress. And like I said, RaylaForCongress.com, you can donate, you can pledge your vote, we can get you stickers. If you need yard signs, let us know. So we've got it all out there. I'm doing events. You can follow that on my Facebook page. I have one on Wednesday in Somerville, and then we're also doing another one, a standout in Dorchester. Welcome to Dorchester on Saturday.
Welcome to Somerville,
I'm not
too.
Every town in my district.
All right. All right. Rayla Campbell, thanks. And I'm glad you went out there and confronted Joe and his supporters. Thanks. Thanks. That's Rayla Campbell, Republican candidate against Ayanna Pressley. If you're thinking of replacing your carpets due to pet stains and odors, you must try Genesis 950 first. It breaks down the bonds of stains and odors so they're gone from carpets and padding for good. You can use it in a carpet cleaning machine, and it's green, so it's safe for family and pets. It's the go-to cleaner for when Mr. Gooner had an accident, as older pugs often do. Before you purchase new carpeting, you must try Genesis 950. It's such a pain to get new carpeting. It's expensive. You got to measure it. You got to go to the carpet store, you got to buy padding in addition to the carpeting. You got to have the carpeting taken away or get rid of it somehow. Don't bother with that. Get industrial strength Genesis 950. 1 gallon makes up to 7 gallons of cleaner, and it's not just for pet stains. It's a disinfectant that kills viruses. It's also great for kitchens, garages, grease stains, wheels, tires, and more. Save yourself the trouble of going to the store and seeing your favorite cleaner sold out again.
And Howie, it's, you just said it right there, but I always thought it was for pets because we started talking about it so much with your dogs. But the mailroom manager told me that this weekend she brought over a gallon of it to Carolyn, who has a new house, and that she was amazed by how fast and how quickly it got everything out. Yeah. And she wanted to use it on the whole couch.
No, she thought the mailroom manager was crazy and that it wouldn't do anything, but it just got it out. It really did get it out, just like that. I watched it. I was surprised myself how good it was. It's made in America, and as we like to say, buy American, support America. Order a gallon direct at genesis950.com. Enter code Howie to get more than a $10 value in savings, including free shipping and a free spray bottle with a one-gallon purchase of Genesis 950. Go to genesis950.com and enter code Howie. I'm Howie Carr.
He's the guru of graft. It's Howie Carr.
This is Jay in Hingham, Massachusetts.
This is Gloria from Haverhill, Mass.
Hi, this is Joe from Howie in the Hills, Florida. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
I'm just looking at this Globe story about the event. New poll finds Markey with margin of error lead as Ken. Markey now has a 44-42 lead. And again, 15% undecided doesn't mean much, I don't think. But I'm surprised Markey's that close, let alone ahead in even one poll. And it's an outside group that did the poll. But in a short news conference during which he notably took no questions, but it doesn't say why Kennedy took no questions. So I think probably one of the reasons he took no questions was because Rayla Campbell was heckling him, you know? And I think she had every right to go after him. I mean, when he's got that woman behind him, you know. I mean, when we first broke the story, it wasn't us; it was other people who broke the story. But the Herald asked Kennedy for a comment about whether he was still going to accept the support of this woman, Monica Cannon Grant, who said all these racist things, and he didn't get back to us. He had no response. Aliciana, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Aliciana.
Howie, thank you. Miss Campbell, you know me, Aliciana from Dorchester. We're backing you 100%. Clean out the swamp in Boston. Clean it out. And they set her up. I told Miss Campbell about them. They will set her up. They set her up. And Rachel Rollins set her up. Be careful. I warned her. That's what they did to Congress Mike Capriano. They set him up. Be careful. Be careful. Watch your
back. All right. She's keeping her friends close and her enemies closer, I think, like the Godfather taught us all. But, you know, I think Rachel Campbell did her a favor, today, you know, by telling her about this. I think Rayla Campbell comes out on top here, even though the Globe has given the story a good leaving alone, obviously. And I'd be interested in seeing how this is going to play out on the local newscast tonight. You have somebody yelling at a Kennedy. I think it's pretty good TV, unless the local news media is even further gone than I thought they were. 603, the Mass low-digit license plate lottery is now active. Oh, good. We've been looking for that for a long time. I'll be checking that out tonight. I sure won't be watching the Democrat convention. I'm Howie Carr.